Thanks, praise team. You guys sound great. And I have to tell you, you guys sound great. That was awesome. It really, really sounded good to hear God's people shouting to the north and the south and the east and the west that Jesus is Lord of heaven and earth. The only thing that would be better is being able to fill this room up with people and do it all over again. And by God's grace, I'm trusting that's going to happen this year. We're continuing our study in 1 John, and we've arrived at the passage 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 through 11. I've mentioned to you before that as a young man, I grew up working on the water in my family's commercial crabbing business, so when I was doing that, I would leave the house at 4:30 in the morning, and I would get to the marina 10 minutes later, and I'd head out from the marina in my boat in the dark across the bay to where we kept our crab pots. So all summer long, at least 5 days a week, sometimes more, I was working outside, and I was witness to many sunrises. When I left the marina at 4:30, 4:40, the only light was the stars, sometimes the moon, and also the street lights on the island across the bay. But then as I continued working, there would be this gradual increase of light to the east. And then finally, the sun would crest over the horizon, and the daylight would begin to shine, and everything would come into visibility. And then as the sun would continue to climb in the sky, it would get brighter and it would get warmer. And my job on the water would end, and I'd be making my way back to the marina somewhere around 8 to 8:30 to deliver live crabs so that the people vacationing on the Jersey Shore could enjoy a special coastal delicacy. And I witnessed and enjoyed many, many, many sunrises when I was working that job. As we continue our series through 1 John entitled Gaining Spiritual Confidence, we arrive at our passage today, and John uses the image of a rising sun to describe what God is doing in the world. Verse 8 says, "At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and true in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining." John speaks of the darkness passing away and the light already shining. And when we come to understand what he means, we will gain increasing spiritual confidence in him. And I would like to point out for you from this passage three ways in which the light of God is shining in this passage. There is the light of God's truth, there is the light of God's Son, and there is the light of God's people. The light of God's truth, the light of God's Son, the light of God's people. So we're going to start with the light of God's truth, which I'm calling the pre-dawn. That's when the light is coming up, but it hasn't yet crested the horizon. In verse 7, he says, "Beloved, I'm writing to you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard." Now, we understand what the old commandment is when we contrast it with what the new commandment is. The new commandment was Jesus' command to love one another as I have loved you. The old commandment is found in the Old Testament in the book of Leviticus, chapter 19 and verse 18. And this is what it says. "You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Leviticus 19:18, "You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Leviticus is one of the five books of Moses. Moses was the first leader of Israel who brought the people out of captivity in Egypt. And then Moses was used by God to lead the people through the Red Sea into the wilderness. And then Moses was used by God to lead the people through the wilderness to Mount Sinai, where they worshiped him there. And then Moses was the person who was used by God to lead the people to the very borders of the Promised Land as they prepared to enter. And God used Moses to give the people the worship system of the tabernacle and all of the laws of the Old Testament that related to worship, that related to the morality of God for his people, and that related to how the people were to live one another as people in community and as a nation. And Leviticus is a law book. It is filled with God's commands to his people, among which was the command to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Think about that with me for a moment. Embedded in God's law for his people was the command to love. From their very inception, Israel was to be a people characterized by love. There was to be a goodness, there was to be a kindness, there was to be a beauty that existed within their families, within their cities, within their tribes, within their land, within their priests, within their judges, within their kings, within their prophets. Israel was designed and called by God to be a people of love. They were to love one another, and they were to love the strangers and the aliens and the refugees within their land. They were to love the Lord their God, and they were to love one another. And the Ten Commandments can be divided basically into two separate parts: the ways in which they were supposed to love God and the ways that they were to love their neighbor. And how do you love your neighbor? The law of Moses answers: honor your father and mother. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Tell the truth. Don't covet what belongs to your neighbor. If Israel did these things and the other things revealed in the beautiful law of God, the light of God would have shone brilliantly through them, and they would have been a blessing to the entire earth. The law of God is beautiful. The law of God is good. The law of God is light. It shows people, the people that God made and called his own, how to live God's best life ever. It shows the people of God how to bless the world. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is an old, old, old command dating back thousands of years into the Old Testament in the beginnings of the Bible. And when God gave these words to Moses, he was showing Moses the light of his truth, the light of his goodness, and the light of his life in the world. But very much like us, Israel found that the light of God's word was quite difficult to keep. We prefer not to love. It's too hard. We prefer to assert ourselves over against our neighbor. We prefer to take rather than to give. We prefer ourselves and not our neighbor. And Israel failed to love, and so does every generation since God spoke this incredibly beautiful command. But that doesn't mean that God's light went out. This was the pre-dawn of God working in the world, showing men and women and boys and girls what is good. Love your neighbor as you have loved yourself. But we transgress. We prefer putting ourselves first. We resist God's law. We resist the good. We resist love. And so God sent more light. The light of his Son, Jesus Christ. In verse 8 we read, "At the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in Him. The darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining." John mentions a new commandment, and that it was true in Him, meaning in Jesus Christ. Jesus came, He upheld the commandment to love, and He lived the commandment to love. John 3:16 says that God demonstrates His love to the world by sending His Son into the world. And Jesus poured out love upon thousands and thousands of people by teaching and healing and correcting and caring and training them. And when Jesus came to the end of His ministry, in John chapter 13, verse 1, we read this. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved His own who are in the world, He loved them to the end." It says Jesus had loved His disciples the entire time that He had been them, and now, at the end, He was going to love them yet more. And how did He do that? He got up from the table. He took off His robe. He wrapped a towel around Him. And He brought a basin of water. And one by one by one, He washed the feet of His disciples. And as He would finish with one, He would move to the next one, and that one would watch as Jesus washed the feet of His disciples. And when He finished that one, He would move to the next one, and the other two would watch, and the others on that side would watch as Jesus gradually worked His way around the room, washing the feet of His disciples, loving them to the very end. And in verse 12, He finishes, and this is what we read. "When He had washed their feet and put on His outer garments, He resumed His place, and He said to them, 'Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your teacher and your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." "What I have done to you," Jesus said, "you should do for others." Jesus is the rising sun. Finally, God sends His Son into the world, and here we see, in concrete, vivid, simple actions, what love is really like. Here is someone who has compassion on the broken. Here is someone who speaks the truth to the rebellious and encourages them to turn back to God. Here is someone who comforts the broken, who sees right into our very hearts and brings light and hope and comfort and healing to our shattered lives. As I've had opportunity to visit our brother Stan Smith at home, I've noticed on the table when I walk into the room that in their spare time, Sue and some of the other family members are building jigsaw puzzles. and I can see their progress week to week, and when the puzzle changes to another puzzle. Jesus' love picks up the broken pieces of our shattered lives and begins to reassemble them like the scattered pieces of a jigsaw puzzle. When our lives were shattered and broken and hopeless and dark and miserable and full of sin and despair, the light of Jesus shines upon us. The love of Jesus enters into us. He sees what's there. He knows what's there. He died on the cross to forgive us our sins, and He rose from the dead to redeem our shattered lives. And day by day, and piece by piece, He's making us into something new, something good, something like Him. He is transforming us from those who could not love into lovers who are like Him. And in Jesus, the light began with God giving us His truth, but now it has risen upon us like the sun coming over the horizon. Now we have not only the command to love, but the Savior who loved us and gave His life for our wrongs and for our brokenness. How much does Jesus love you? Are there limits to His love? Are there conditions that must be met? Are there weaknesses in His love? Does He want to love us but lack the power to do so? Does He fall short and let us down and leave us hanging? The answer, of course, to all of these things is a resounding no. And we've sung of that this morning. And we need to know and to believe this and even to experience it regularly. A couple of weeks ago, I was away at a conference with Mark Fee, learning some simple and some profound practices about how to experience the love of God for myself. These are things that are simple that we can pass on to one another, things that we can share with one another, and ways in which we can encourage one another. And the leadership team's going to be attending this conference again in March so that they can learn it as well. And I know that the women's ministry is looking for ways to help and encourage and grow one another. And they could learn first loved and begin to mentor one another in small groups so that those who have been mentored can then turn and give it away to other people. And I hope to begin gathering small clusters of men to teach them how to experience the love of God as well and to raise up and to strengthen the next generation of Christian leaders in our church. When we know, not just in our minds, but in our hearts and through our experience, how much the love of Jesus has shown in our lives, then we will experience the next wave of God's light, which is the light of God's people as the sun continues to rise. Verse 8 of our passage. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in Him and in you, because darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. This new commandment is true in Him, John says, and it is true in you. You. Jesus has brought the dawn, and now the sun is climbing up the morning sky through Jesus' followers, through His people. The darkness is passing away, and God's light continues to shine through the people of Jesus in the world. The new commandment is in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. He says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." There is a difference between Leviticus and John. In Leviticus, the law was, you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. The way that that commandment has been modified and the way that it's become new is that Jesus said, you shall love one another as I have loved you. It begins with Jesus' love for us first. When we have seen and tasted and experienced the love of Christ for us, we have the power to actually love other people after the same fashion with which He loved us. Before it was love as you love yourself, great rule. Now it is Jesus saying, love as I have loved you. Now we have love. Now we have received love. Now we have experienced forgiveness and mercy and acceptance and grace and love from our Savior. If you've never been loved and you've never tasted love, you have nothing to give love from. But when you have been loved by an amazing Savior, then you have something to give away. Let me try to describe it for you this way. A couple of years ago, I read a book entitled Ice Diaries. And it was part of the story of the first American nuclear submarine, the USS Nautilus. And up until the Nautilus, submarines were very, very primitive and could only stay underwater for just a few hours because they needed air to run their diesel engines, to turn the generators, to charge the batteries that would only survive for just a few hours. So they would have to come back up again. But the nuclear submarine, it didn't need air. And it was able to power itself without air, and it could stay underwater for days and weeks and months at a time. It could even create air for the sailors on board without coming up again. And the U.S. built this submarine at the fearful time of the Cold War, when the United States and the Soviet Union were each trying to invent potentially more dangerous weapons in order to act as counterbalances so that one would not be able to overcome the other, though the threats continued to increase. And so Captain Anderson came up with an idea of sailing the Nautilus under the polar ice cap of the North Pole and being able to arrive undetected within striking distance of the Soviet Union. And it was a top secret mission. And after three attempts, he was able to do it. And he gave America a greater sense of security and prowess during the era of the Cold War. And the secret of the Nautilus was the nuclear reactor. The reactor created more power and more energy than had ever existed in the power source of an engine before. It didn't need diesel engines to power generators to charge batteries. The reactor created more power with less fuel than any other system before it. It was a stunning discovery of technology. I would like to suggest to you that Jesus' love for us in our lives is like a nuclear reactor. Whereas under the Old Testament, they had the command to love, it was kind of like the old battery-powered submarines. It couldn't go very far. But Jesus' love for us is like a nuclear reactor in which He provides for us the energy which we need to love other people well. In verses 9 through 11, John gets a little bit more challenging. And he says, whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in the darkness. And whoever loves his brother, but whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. John speaks here to the church to which he is writing of a person who hates his brother and is still walking in the darkness. Now, if I were to ask you, does anybody here hate their brother or their sister today? Probably no one would have the courage or the transparency to raise their hand. No one ever thinks that they hate somebody else. But a better way to understand this would be the idea of harming one another sometimes. Does anybody harm their brother or their sister by words that are spoken that lack kindness and understanding? By actions that are stubborn and rebellious and not flexible and understanding? By deeds which are harsh and words that are judgmental or critical rather than understanding and patient? We can look down on one another. We can ignore one another. We can shun one another. We can resist one another. We can criticize each other. We can speak behind one another's backs. We can avoid the truth and resist and neglect the difficult conversations that need to be had. We wouldn't say that we hate anyone, but the more helpful question is, do we harm one another? Those words, John says, and those actions and those attitudes darken the world. They run counter to the love of Jesus, and John says they are the display of someone who was in the darkness, is blind, and doesn't know where he or she is going. By contrast, the reactor of Jesus' love within us is teaching us and empowering us to love the way that he loved, to shine the way that he shines, to care the way that he cares. We become lights reflecting and sharing the light that we have received. And when this happens, John says, the darkness is disappearing and love and hope enter the world in a completely new and a beautiful way. The new commandment comes alive, and people recognize the light of Jesus in the love of God's people. Darkness is defeated when we repent and forgive and accept and are reconciled with one another, and the Son of God's light climbs above the horizon into the sky, and people are drawn to its brightness and to its warmth. This is the light of God's truth, magnified by the light of God's Son, demonstrated by the light of God's people. As I conclude, I remind you about the Let's Connect card, one of these. They're found on the seat in front of you, especially if you are a first-time guest. I am so grateful that you are here, and I would love to hear from you if you would fill that out and just leave it in the offering plate as you're making your way out, just inside the door. Or if you're watching online, you can likewise do one through our website in the upper right-hand corner. If you're a second-time guest, welcome back. I pray that you are experiencing the light of God's people as we've been speaking about it here this morning. There are ways that we can help you and ministries that we have. You can write a response to my message this morning, and you can also share a prayer request, and we would be our privilege to be able to pray for you. There's this perception that New England is really a hard place to reach for Christ. And in some ways, the truth is borne out by the small percentage of believing churches and believing Christians that there are in our region here on the North Shore. But I would like to encourage you, West Church. The light of God's love is beautiful. The light of His truth is beautiful. The light of God's Son, Jesus Christ, is beautiful. And the light of God's people is beautiful. And when we are saturated with the love of God in our hearts, we will have the love that we need to share with others in our community. One of the things that we hope to do in the new year is to gather to pray specifically for our area, to pray for the North Shore, to pray for the people in our communities, to pray for that God would teach us how to love others and show us people to love on. We don't necessarily need a new program or a new project or a new angle. We need the old commandment made new in Jesus Christ. We need to love within these walls, and we need to love outside of these walls. We need to have the compassion of Jesus for our neighbors and our friends and our co-workers. And I would encourage you to begin asking Jesus to show you just one person who doesn't go to church here on whom to love. Last year, as Donna and I were traveling to Georgia to visit our daughter, we were listening to Mark Fee's podcasts, which you can access on the website. And he was challenging us to do that, to pray for people to love on. And so I did that. And not really thinking about it, a couple days later, we were at the gas station early in the morning getting ready to go get our COVID test so we could come back to Massachusetts. And while I was standing there, you know how you're standing there with the pump and you're just kind of looking around? I saw this guy who was and kind of met my eyes, and he waved at me to come over. And I went over to him, and he said, hey, I'm sorry to bother you. And he explained to me that he was trying to get away from a very difficult situation. And he asked me if I could put $10 of gas in his car. $10 of gas. How easy is that, right? So I said to Donna, I said, hey, honey, when the car pump stops, just pull forward, and I'm going to put a few dollars worth of gas in this guy's car. And so I did. And, you know, he was in a hurry to go somewhere, and we were kind of in a hurry to go somewhere. And I said to him, I said, the Lord be with you, friend. I hope you find what you're looking for. He said to me, boy, that's not something you hear every day. Thanks for helping me. And we both went our own ways. I didn't even realize till the next day that God had answered my prayer. It's not really that hard. Jesus is the sunrise of God's love in the world. And we become His light to others when we live out the new commandment right here where we are. The light of Jesus is shining through us, John says, and the darkness is fading away. Wow, let's pray for that. God, we are so grateful that You have spoken to us, that You're not a God who is far away, but You're a God who speaks very clearly. And You've given us Your word, the Scriptures, so that we can understand who You are, what You are like, and what we are to become. And Lord, It is our heartfelt desire that having tasted and seen that you are good and knowing your love for us, that you would cause your light to shine and to continue to rise, both here on the North Shore, where we live and breathe and have our being, and around the world, where we have opportunity to love as well through our generosity. God, we pray that your light would shine ever more brilliant through us and through our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ throughout this region, and that the darkness would be fading away. We ask this in your mighty name, Lord Jesus. Amen.